24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Complete damage! Completely damaged!
Welcome everybody to Damage Radio, heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet. You know me, I'm RC, alongside Matt, the ultimate Kiss fan porter, Arthur the Bullet Littman. And guys, Happy New Year, and there's only one way to start off Damage Radio from 2019. And you know what, I reached back in the back pocket, I called a good friend, talked to him, and I said, listen, Bay Regney, you have to come back to Damage Radio, man. We miss you. The people miss you. And we want to hear what's on your mind. So the host and creator of Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio, former ECW original, former Dead Gerber Babies in the band, baby. I remember those days. And Liberty All-Star Wrestling commentator, man. Bay Regney, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you so much. I am so honored. I mean, I'm really happy. Seriously, Peter, you guys are like family. You seriously are.
And hey, when do you get a nice intro like that on a Monday morning? Welcome.
Hey, I'll take that any day of the week.
Keurig was working this morning. I'm high. I'm ready to go, man.
RC definitely didn't switch to decaf over the break.
You know, nice.
I can't with two kids, man. Come on, you know that. So, Bay, man, how's everything going? First off, Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year, man. You know, that just took me for a loop. Like, RC's got two kids now.
Yeah.
Right. Think about that.
Two crazy boys.
Yeah.
Nice. One could be four next Sunday.
Woo!
Another year and a half, man.
Still no gray hairs, though.
Oh, I know. You should have saw it, man. Yeah, I got the haircut yesterday. They're all coming down. It's like, gosh, weekend. It was better before after I saw all these gray hairs falling off. But, man, got to keep floating around, right, Matt?
Floating around.
Wait till you experiment with Just for Men. That's when you're, like, really going through the life choice. Like, am I, like, I look back at pictures, like, from 10 years ago myself when I had, like, the little Nikki Sixx soul patch. And I used to, like, paint that stuff on. And I look back at the pictures, like, what was I thinking? Like, now I'm just go with
just
it.
Just like a commercial.
All right, just like a commercial.
The things you have to look forward to, Arthur. The things you have to look forward to, man. Living life.
Getting older doesn't really do anybody favors.
No. Not at all.
And did anyone age yesterday? We'll talk about that in a second. But
hey, guys, we got a phone call.
Bring it
in. Thank you for calling Completely Damaged Radio. And who am I speaking?
This is Magic Mike Ferrara. How are you guys?
Magic Mike
in the house.
Calling Damaged Radio. How's everything, man?
I'm good. You know, Bill Baker could tell you about me, but I called today to talk about the past of Mean Gene. But, you know, Bay, how does it feel to be on the radio, bro?
Feels good. It always feels good. It feels even better when you're in a real studio. And the sound quality's amazing, and you're not hearing the buzz and the hum and all the other crappy things I have going on.
You mean like the made-up studio that I have, the basement?
Right, exactly.
Minus the Cheetos and Fritos and all that good stuff.
We are lucky. We have this great studio here at Montgomery County Community College.
That's right, man. So what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm excited. I was going to say, guys, you know, I'm glad. I love college, and I'm a big college guy. So, you know, college radio is great, and everybody should listen to the show. And I love wrestling, as everybody knows. So it's a win-win situation. But I did call to talk about the passing of Mean Gene, if I can.
Sure.
Just a sad day to find out that, you know, Mean Gene passed away. It was like finding out that my uncle passed away, or a friend of mine passed away. Unfortunately, I never got to meet Gene. I've had a lot of opportunities, but I never got to meet him. And, you know, being a wrestling fan since 1982, I remember when Gene came over to the WWF, and he was just spot on. There was nobody like Mean Gene. Everybody knew who Mean Gene was, and he was just an amazing man. But the one thing that gets me upset is Mean Gene never wrote a book, and I always wanted to like read a book by a guy like Gene who had so many stories, you know?
That's interesting.
Agreed, yeah.
That is true. Do you have a favorite highlight or memory of Mean Gene?
Oh, yeah. I could go on forever, of course. I love the promo that him and Hulk Hogan did when he was getting ready when he was getting ready to train, he was getting ready to train for a fight with George the Animal Steel. And Mr. Fuji and Hogan shows up at the house and says, "Hey, Mean Gene, brother, what are you doing? Get that cigarette and that coffee out of your mouth." And drink some eggs, brother, you know. And then I remember watching that match and watching Mean Gene come up and, you know, high-five Hogan, and then the next thing you know, Mean Gene's in the ring. And then, of course, one of the biggest things about wrestling today, and we know this, when a good guy, I'll say it sarcastically, turns bad, you know, and Mean Gene, you know, I remember Bobby Heenan saying in 1996, "Oh, there's Mean Gene, look, he's shaking." And then, you know, Mean Gene comes up and says, "Hulk Hogan, I want to talk to you. Hulk Hogan, all this, you know, all this stuff, all this garbage is for you. How could you do this to us?" You know, it was like, and you can see you can tell the angriness in his voice. But you knew this is what you were getting from Mean Gene, and you knew Mean Gene was going to get the scoop if he had to go into the locker room, if he had to go into the jungle to try to find Kamala or try to figure out what happened to the One Man Gang when he turned into Hakeem. So stuff like that I loved.
Classics.
Since the late Bobby the Brain Heenan, he was on the road with Mean Gene Oakland for many years, like in AWA and NWA and WWE and WCW days, and because they had a lot of memories together. So that's a long time ago, but my brother was watching WCW days back then. But what are your thoughts about Bobby the Brain Heenan and Mean Gene Oakland did it one last time since 2004 was WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan, they work great together. You know, not that many people probably know, but they were on they hosted All American Wrestling back in USA, the USA days, on Sunday mornings. And Bobby Heenan and Mean Gene, they were great together. There was this one skit that they did where they were trying to get into the offices because Bobby Heenan figured out that they were going to have a secret meeting. And Mean Gene said, "You know what, Bobby? This is where the executive offices are." And when Bobby walked in, Mean Gene Oakland took the woman's the sign that said executive, and it was the woman's room. And you hear Bobby Heenan, you know, go in there and hear the women screaming. And you just could tell, again, that Mean Gene was having fun. Just like when Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan came back to do the broadcast for WrestleMania 17 with the Gimmick Battle Royal. I mean, you could not talk about those two without bringing up the WWF with them. And they're both Hall of Famers, and they're both well-deserved. I mean, Bobby the Brain Heenan was one of the most characters I wanted to kick and beat up as a kid.
Yeah.
I have the chance, by the way, because I'm 41 years old, and I have the chance to say that I actually got to kick the crap out of him. Wow, because of my age, right? No, because I actually got to kick the crap out of him. I had those LGN, those big dolls. Remember those things?
Yes. Absolutely.
They remember those days. Hey, by the way, speaking of Bay, I'm surprised Bay made it today because yesterday Bay had a kind of a up and down game with the Eagles. And by the way, congratulations to the Eagles.
Yeah. Woo! Yes.
I get nervous because I always have to check on Bay. I always text him to make sure that he's okay.
Last minute of the game last night, Mike sends me a message. He's like, "I'm rooting for the Eagles with you, bro." I'm like, I'm having a freaking heart attack over here. You're killing me, Mike.
you know, I was watching the game last night, the Eagles, and the end of the game, the funny thing what happened was that one of the kickers in the Chicago Bears lost his concentration, and that was a dirty trick timeout. And what happened was, it was completely damaged.
It was.
And then I don't know if you guys heard the Spanish version. That was the best. I've heard it this morning. I was laughing. You know, and I took Spanish for 4 years. The only thing I got out of that was Chicago and no sir.
you're talking about the Bears.
That's right. Eliminated. Well, thanks so much for calling in,
thanks,
man, and listening. And you have a great day, all right?
Yeah, and thank you guys for letting me come on and talk, you know, with you guys and Bay. And Bay, I'll catch up with you, my good. How about this one, my good personal longtime friend? How about that?
Look at that. Nice. Yeah, nice, man. Keep it damaged, man. Have a great day. Thanks for the call.
That's
you got it, brother. Bye bye.
That's Magic Mike Ferrara. He hosts Pro Wrestling Now and More on a Totally German Radio.
Nice. When is that on?
And when's that on?
Right now, he's on hiatus.
Okay.
So he's got some. His father's had a few strokes over the last couple of years. So he's taking care of his father, but. Yeah, when he comes
on. Getting older doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we got a call. Thank you for calling Completely Damaged Radio. And who am I speaking?
Gentlemen, as you know, the ultimate effort. Well, it's publicly stated that, damn it, who put that up? Is that $200 an hour?
Wow! Fran, Derek, what's going on, man?
Safe for radio, as always.
That's fantastic. Fran, awesome. How are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How's everything, man?
Just a few minutes here as I'm breaking from the shoot job, literally. I'm on on my 15-minute break, which is 9 minutes into here.
Woo!
But, yeah, it's good to catch up with you guys. Unfortunately, it's under some bad circumstances here. I had to get the most infamous Mean Gene blooper out there, even with a few extra words that were thrown out after the fact, as most people just know right after Mean Gene's expletive where things kind of stopped there.
Mm. So would that be your favorite Mean Gene moment?
Oh, no. There are so many. In fact, this past Saturday on the longest-running pro wrestling radio talk show in the history of terrestrial radio, knew that was coming.
Happy New Year!
Saturdays from noon to 1 on 1490 WBCB and online at WBCB1490.com. Something's never changed.
That's right? Awesome.
New Year, that's great. Day.
We're off to a great start.
Oh, I love it.
But yeah, actually, next month it'll be celebrating 20 years on the air.
Wow.
Yeah, there are some students there at Montgomery County Community College that were born after the show started.
Yeah.
Really?
That's crazy.
Yep. I know. Son of a, I'm old. All right, anyway. But I was playing a litany of different Mean Gene clips without going over all of them because it would take way too much time. His interaction, I'd heard a little bit heading into this here with Bobby the Brain Heenan. WrestleMania 6, after Andre the Giant turns face, and this just shows the quick wit of both of these individuals, Bobby Heenan and Mean Gene Okerlund. But Okerlund almost exasperated a little bit at Heenan. He goes, "Where do you have the nerve to strike Andre the Giant in the face?" And Heenan, without breaking stride, goes, "I'll tell you where I've got the nerve to hit Andre in the face." And just that little subtlety was something where, I mean, even though you hated Bobby the Brain Heenan, you couldn't help but crack up. I mean, that's one of many, many moments that an entire hour couldn't even begin to encompass.
Right.
It's true. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that is the biggest takeaway is think of the great moments in wrestling, and he was usually part of it.
Yeah.
You know, as Mike had mentioned earlier, the Hogan heel turn. You know, who comes right in the ring? It's about, you know, Mean Gene. To me, it's always Mean, woo, Gene! Yeah. You know, like, and yeah. Then he's right there being the straight man to usually somebody who's over the top.
Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, when he's like, you know what, Mean Gene? You know, when Hulk Hogan.
Look here, brother!
Yep.
Yeah, how many William, I played a little montage of about 20 seconds of different, well, you know something, Mean Gene, or let me tell you something, Mean Gene, or
right.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Mean Gene. Like, just all these different Hogan. And at, just for fun at the end of it, I threw in AJ Styles going, "Well, you know something, Mean Gene," from Raw 25 last year.
Wow. That's
apologizing
awesome.
I always wanted to do that, he said.
That's awesome.
What
with
about
a very well septuagenarian Mean Gene Okerlund. gone way too soon at 76.
I agree, man. What about the Steiner brothers? They were there WrestleMania 9. In Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace. They were interviewed by Mean Gene Okerlund. They had a lot of memories in the ring, and that was a long time ago since 93. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, that whole pay-per-view, I mean, Mean Gene donning the toga is just enough to be cringeworthy. I mean, but everybody was involved in that. I mean, yeah, that was Jim Ross's debut in the World Wrestling Federation, was in a toga. Which was also my debut as a professional wrestling fan. So
really?
Wow. History shared there. Yeah, that was I was at my aunt's house, and WrestleMania 9 was on, and that was where an 11-year-old, very naive kid, somehow after all of that, even though that has been numerously inducted in WrestleCrap and other things of that nature, that pay-per-view somehow made me a wrestling fan that has stuck some almost 26 years later.
Wow. Wow. That's great.
Now, Fromm, before we let you go, man, what's new with you, man? How's everything?
Just taking things day by day, working full time, doing my paying the bills thing like I do Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 5, you know, the old Dolly Parton shift there. And number one hit, 1981. Still doing my thing on WBCB. I've been there for a little over a decade now. June will be 11 years that I've been there. And this March will mark 10 years that I've been hosting Pro Wrestling Weekly, taking over for Eric Argiulo. And I've also been dabbling into some other ventures. Obviously, I've been doing play-by-play commentary since 2016 for the Monster Factory, and they've got everything going great with the Ring of Honor and Future of Honor Dojo and everything of that nature. So much I could get into, but I'm pretty much I'm back off of my break here in about a minute, so I'm trying to keep it as quick as I can. I've also been doing some things on Twitch.tv, doing some video game play-by-play commentary and things of that nature.
That's awesome, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, finish your Dolly Parton shift. That's awesome, man. Well, finish your Dolly Parton shift, and we hope to get you back up here live on Damage Radio, El Manco.
Yeah, one of these days we'll make it happen. We'll have to figure out some things behind the scenes, make sure enough greenbacks come my way.
Damaged. All right, Fron. Enjoy your day, man. Happy New Year.
I'll catch you later.
Thanks, Fron. Boy, what a great way to start the year. We got Bay here. We got Fron on the phone. It's like an all-star show right off the bat.
Yeah, and Bullet, you got a question for Bay?
I got a question. Bay, what are some of your favorite memories of Mean Gene when then we all share our memories?
Always the favorite thing about Mean Gene that I always enjoyed was Iron Sheik. Whenever Iron Sheik was interviewed by Mean Gene, it was never Mean Gene. It was Gene Mean. Gene, and that just always stuck with me. And I just always would laugh. And situations like that really proved over the years how, and I thought, you know, sadly you think about this after somebody passes, but how truly important Gene Okerlund was to the wrestling business where, you know, at that time with the explosion of wrestling, you know, the focus was Hogan and Roddy Piper and Snuka and all these guys that were just starting to blow up. But years later, you think back and you're like, wow, Gene Okerlund really was such an important pivotal part of getting everybody over with his, Mean Gene character.
Mm-hmm. Guys, we got a phone call calling. Thank you for calling Completely Damaged Radio. And who am I speaking?
This is Josh Chernoff. How are you guys?
Hey, Josh! What's up, man?
Happy New Year, man.
How you doing? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. I love calling into this show. There is nowhere else in the world that I get a reaction like that.
Well, we're always here to build up your spirits, man.
How's it going?
Doing great, man. We're just talking about, you know, unfortunately, Mean Gene passing away, man. Do you have any favorite moments, memories of Mean Gene?
Oh, man. I loved any time he went off. Off script isn't exactly right because I don't think he was ever working from script. But when he would, one of my favorite ones, the put that cigarette out when he said, I don't know if you guys talked about that yet.
No.
But, who was it? Was it, I don't know if that was when Flair won the title or when that was. There was one time where he's like interviewing somebody, just like looks off camera, goes, put that cigarette out. Like there was nobody. Like he would just do these things to, or any time when like he threatened to sue. Mm. You know, I have a team of lawyers, and you know all that. Like he was fantastic. He was really great. It was very very upsetting to find out. I had mentioned on social media that we had actually talked to him back in November about coming on for the After Chat for the Survivor Series show and to give some predictions and stuff. And he had family in town and just we weren't able to schedule the time. And we had said, okay, well, you know, we'll do it for the next one. And unfortunately, that never happened. And it's just really, really upsetting. A true legend in the business for sure.
Definitely. And while we have you on the phone, when's the next time you're going to be taping So Says Chernoff live at Montgomery County Community College?
Yeah, I'll be taping at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, January 23rd.
Nice.
Yeah, we're hoping to get a decent turnout there. And I can't make an official announcement yet. I actually just sent an email out saying, hey, when am I allowed to make an official announcement of where that show is going to be airing? But it is going to be airing on a streaming service geared towards wrestling. So that's all I'll say now. But I would love to, once I can, I'd love to come back on the show and make the announcement with you guys. But yeah, so it's definitely, it's been picked up, just waiting to get the contract back, and it's been picked up to air on a streaming service, which is exciting.
Fantastic.
I love it, man. So if people want to come be a part of the audience, do they just show up here live at Monca, or can they message you?
They just show up. They can send a message on the Facebook page, facebook.com/SoSaysChernoff. That brings you right to my page. Or tweet me at SoSaysChernoff. But yeah, they can just show up. I would love to know that they're coming because, as you guys know, it's not the largest area. So, you know, we'll squeeze everybody in that we possibly can, but I'd like to know how many people are coming, give or take. And, but yeah, it's free to the public. Just show up and be ready to laugh. And even if stuff's not funny, just laugh.
Nice. Nice. Well, we appreciate it, Josh. Thanks so much for the call, man. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man.
It's like an all-star episode, right? To kick off 2019. Fantastic.
Day brings the people in, man.
I love it.
Now, Matt, do you have a favorite Mean Gene memory?
You know what? I think more than anything is that you think of so many specific, like, there's just so many. I mean, and that's what I was saying earlier was the idea that, you know, you have that character was involved in so many angles through how many decades. It's like you associate him with everything. You know what's funny? I was watching some stuff over the weekend, and you think about that Ric Flair with a tear in my eye. And the sad thing is you realize everybody else around Flair is gone now.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you cut Mr. Perfect is there, and we're talking about Bobby the Brain Heenan's there. And now Mean Gene, and you start going, man, I'll tell you what. And then you start going, wait a minute, Attitude Era is 20 years ago. And you go, wait a minute, Chief J. Strongbow's 40 years ago. And you go, you know what I mean? And you start going, I think our whole theme is, man, we're all getting old.
I got a tear in my eye.
With a tear in my eye. Right. It's crazy. I think that's what I always think when, you know, when you watch the network, is that how many of them from the classic, really the classic era, are gone.
When
you talk about somebody like Mean Gene, who was involved in like every angle, you know, you think about the Macho Man and him cutting these crazy promos, Mean Gene. It's like you're not even sure like what he's talking about. Mean Gene is bringing him back in, always reeling him back in. You know, and I think in a lot of ways that's when you see a lot of these Hall of Famers, people like a Mean Gene. You know, when they're no longer with us, then you think about, well, the nice thing is they will live forever via like the network and the replay. That's, I've really been enjoying all the older videos, WWF, you know, WWF stuff.
Yep.
You know, they're filling the network with it. So you get to kind of just, you know, keep watching it.
I would love to watch him when they would say cut, you know, I would love to see his reaction after he interviewed like Ultimate Warrior or stuff like that, you know.
What is that? Yeah, what just like, happened here? You know, it's.
Yeah. But he was from what I've heard, he's a true professional. No one ever had said a bad bone about him, and he loved this business. And that's what we need more of. We need people that love this business. And back then, we felt it. I don't know if I really feel as much now.
I think also one of the things that he always, maybe it's part of the perception, was he was a guy that would wear a suit.
Yeah.
So he looked like the straight man. So when everybody would come out looking crazy over the top, and I always think of Gold Jacket Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
You know, he looked like it was Wild World of Sports or something.
Yes.
And you have to have, in my mind, you have to have that straight man angle.
Absolutely.
So that the wrestlers can look over the top. When, you know, when somebody comes walking out, and some of these interviewers now, they have more tattoos than the wrestlers, and you kind of go like, I don't know. Like, I think it was like he always appeared to be a man, like a grown man interviewing these guys. And I think that's something I always liked, especially, you know, when we were little, you didn't realize Vince McMahon was running the company. He was pencil neck geek, he was the straight man to all the craziness. And I think that's, you know, there's something there, I think.
Yeah. Kind of brings me back to, like, you know, wrestling when it was actually like meaningful. Like me coming to topic two, All Elite Wrestling. Cody Rhodes partnering with Jacksonville's owner, and they're going to be bringing this new company. And, you know, they're trying to get guys to leave WWE to come to them. Bay, what are your thoughts on that? What do you think AWE needs to do to be successful? AEW needs to do to be successful as ECW's first pay-per-view, Barely Legal.
You know what? I think they already were. I mean, they did that show and they sold it out.
Yeah, 10,000, right?
You know what I mean? Like, ECW never sold 10,000 tickets, first of all, for a live show. And in this day and age, you know, that was, again, going back, it was Barely Legal was 20, going to be 21 years now.
Crazy.
And I guarantee, like, you know, with the way of the internet and stuff like that, I bet you their pay-per-view sales just online was probably better than ECW's real pay-per-view sales. So I think they already did it from that point. And it's just a different day and age in the business now. It's completely different. And bottom line, ECW influenced this whole modern era. I mean, you see trinkets of it here and there, but it's just I think they're there. I was blown away. Like, when I heard that they sold that many tickets, I was like, what is going on here?
Right.
Like, I just like anybody else across the world, a wrestling fan, they were like, what is going on here? So, that alone sets the buzz about that company. And, you know, hats off to them. Like, I can't even applaud them enough.
Now, if you were still in this business wrestling, you know, you see this new blood come in, you're in WWE, your contract's about to expire. Do you listen to them and maybe go there, start fresh? Or do you stick with what you know? You know the money's coming here. You might not be on TV every week, but you know, that's your contract, you know?
Well, that's the big thing. Like, first off, you know you're going to get more money up in Vince Land. Mm-hmm. And your TV time, you're going to get better TV opportunities, we'll say, with WWE. But you don't know what the long run with this AEW or a Ring of Honor. I mean, they got a great underground buzz going, but they're never going to be a WWE type level. But they could be a great secondary company. I mean, with that one show, they already eclipsed TNA. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so it's great for a second or third company, but it's never going to beat WWE.
Yeah, but it's cool to hear about, like, the Jerichos, the Jim Rosses, even the Goldbergs rumored to be part of this company with up-and-coming Young Bucks. Kenny Omega, who knows? I know they're trying to throw him money, you know, to go to right. WWE, but, you know, you're with your friends.
Did anybody watch Wrestle Kingdom, the big, what was last week, Thursday into Friday? Did anybody get up and watch that? Because Danny Kukler, of course, hats off to the Kooks, if he's listening.
Dedicated, man.
Stayed up all night, then came in here, did his show in the morning, shot out of a cannon talking about it. He was on fire and then fell asleep in the studio, you know, on the floor, which was hysterical, and snored very loud. Kooks, if you're listening, shout out to you.
That's awesome.
That was complete damage. I'll get you a breeze strip, a breeze, whatever they're called.
Here's actual tape of Kooks.
No, but shout out to Jericho for changing his character, man.
That's what he was raving about, Jericho, at that pay-per-view.
Yeah. Now, Art, you got another question, right, for Bay?
Bay, do you think Cody's knowledge will give him more leverage to be more successful in the business?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about that on the way over here. You can't name another entertainment industry that's got such second and third generation, you know, we'll say wrestlers for this in this case, but you don't see it in the music business. You don't see it in the acting world. Sometimes very small in the acting world, but never the level of wrestling where these second and third generation stars go on and end up possibly being bigger than the initial star. I mean, you got Flair's daughter now who's blowing up. You got you had Dustin Rhodes for many years, who was, you know, a star in his own name and then became Goldust and was even bigger. Yeah. And Cody, you know, who would have thought? I mean, because Cody's a lot smaller than Dustin, but in this time and age, years of experience, it's paying off. And you got to remember too, like with these guys, when they were kids, they were around the business 24/7. So you know they're in a ring from the time they're 2-3 years old. They're learning the ins and outs of how to work, and the business itself. And I don't think you're going to find another entertainment industry where you can see that much growth and truly, you know, explosion star power. As a person,
like one of the greatest moments in Completely Damaged history, when you ask Cody Rhodes to do a Dusty impression, he says, "You know, I hear a lot of people do it, but he goes, I don't really do it."
But then he did it, right?
And then he did it.
It was Damaged.
You know, I remember that. I think of that as a great moment in Damaged history.
And that's a great question that you came up with, Matt. So I got to give you the credit for it.
That's awesome.
We had so much fun that day.
It was. It just floated around, kept on going around and around, and then finally realized we're going in a circle, man. We're going in a Apollo, you got another one.
Have you forgotten to mention the Hart's family? And the thing is, they passed to Tyson Kidd and David Hart Smith. And then Natalya, she's related to the Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Right.
And that's a family legacy. You forgot to mention that, Bray.
Yeah.
Well, Hart family, that's, I mean, as far as family dynasties, boy, that's hard to beat right there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. But, Bay, you know, we were talking a little bit about ECW, you know, about what the All Elite Wrestling has to do to be successful. Being in ECW, one of the originals, talk about, you know, back then, like, you know, the guys, you know, you guys wanted, you're driven, you want this to be successful. You know, what was your mindset going into it?
Going into it, I mean, I was there actually, you know, before the whole Extreme thing. So I was like true original. Yeah. And truly, you know, heart and soul was with that company from day one, from Eastern Championship Wrestling. And when it, I was there in the days Todd Gordon was running. And then Eddie Gilbert came in and I was there. And then when we first did TV, as a matter of fact, the very first TV match in ECW history was me as the Hell Riders. Yeah. So it's a little trivia question for you. You know, I was there through thick and thin. And then when Eddie came in, you know, he thinned out a lot of the local boys. And then there was the falling out, and Paulie took over and made it Extreme. And I was, you know, sitting there every Tuesday on Sports Channel watching it. I was like, oh my God, this is just amazing. And then the opportunity came for me to come back as a Dudley, thanks to Stevie Richards. And, you know, I went back in there. It was a completely different scene. I mean, the level of intensity was just risen, and the locker room. So many of these guys that influenced me to get into the business are now there. The Steiner brothers you mentioned earlier, they were there. I was a huge Steiner mark back in the day. You know, you got people like Cactus Jack and Steve Austin coming in, and
the Texas Rattlesnake.
Yeah, I mean, all these people were coming through the door. Terry Gordy, I mean, just icons and legends. And it was just mind-blowing to me to be sharing a locker room with these guys. And then to be able to sit there, they were all, everybody was so open and cool and honest and willing to share their knowledge with the younger guys. And you could talk and ask questions, and you can mark out a little bit and, you know, get into their heads. And one of the things I would love to do was, especially at the arena shows, they had a monitor set up in the back so we can watch what was going on out in the crowd. And, you know, I would just sit there. It was, I mean, everybody was just surrounded, like, you know, the whole locker room watching that monitor, cheering on. We were just as big fans behind the curtain as the fans were on the other side of the curtain watching and seeing what was going on. But I would always sit there, especially with, at the time, Cactus and Austin. And they were both going through their contract negotiations with Vince. And I would sit there and I'd listen to their conversations, you know, and they were just like, you know, I don't know what to do, and blah, 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 and they're offering this, blah, blah, blah. And I was just, it was just mind-blowing. I would just sit there, and you're listening to these conversations, and you're watching what's going on the screen. It was just a very surreal feeling. And, you know, I had a very minor role in the whole thing, but my little minor role, I can never be more thankful for, because, yeah. I became the little extra fluff on the outside, and I went in wanting to do more, and it helped me in my wrestling career in one way, but it hurt in the other, because I got lazy and I got comfortable just being the outside fluff, because I was I lived the life of a rock star. I really did. I would go out, I'd go to the mall, and people were stopping me asking for autographs. After shows, it was like being a rock star. You would go back to the hotel afterwards, and you know, I'm getting damaged. You know, we're major parties. I mean, it was just a lot of partying going on. And Paul would say to us, like, I don't care what you guys do, as long as when it comes time to do your promos, you're there and you're on. So, I mean, we would be up until 5-6 in the morning, and you're in stairways with different girls, you're in elevators with girls, you're in hotel rooms with girls, and you get the freaking, back then, beepers, you're getting the ring, you know, come, and it was just insanity, you know? Times of my life I'll never forget.
Seriously. Yeah. Now, were you like, you know, talking about, you know, talking to these guys and seeing the interviews, were you ever behind the camera watching them do these promos?
All the time.
About that, man. What was that like?
Magic. It was magic. You know, seeing and watching it, and, you know, you're gathered around and you're watching these promos, and you're like biting your tongue, trying not to laugh. And then, like, a week or two later, you're seeing them air on TV. And you're still hysterical laughing. And to know that you got to sit there and watch that stuff, it literally was. I mean, for the year and a half I was there as a Dudley, I watched every single time, whether it was a house show or an arena show. It was wrestling history. And I knew it. I totally knew every second of that was pure wrestling history and magic. And there's not a better feeling. I don't care. Anybody in ECW, I guarantee, will back me up as I say this. Walking the aisle at the ECW Arena in 1995 and 96, in my opinion, the two prime years, those years, the peak years, there was not a better feeling walking that aisle than any other time in wrestling. Seriously. Seriously. Because after that, even like barely legal and all that, it changed.
Yeah.
It changed. 95 and 96, you look at that roster of talent, I don't think it can be beat.
Because when you go through the curtain, you're not Bay Regney anymore. Totally different. You're
absolutely
Hell Rider. You're Chubby Dudley. Like,
yeah,
you're someone different, and that's the best feeling in the world. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about the Dudley Boys, but the funny thing what happened was last April at the WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony, the Dudley Boys, Steve Vaughn and Bubba Ray Dudley, got inducted into the Hall of Fame. What do you remember with Steve Vaughn and Bubba Ray Dudley back in ECW days? And since, how do you feel they got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
If you would have told me in 1995 that those two guys would be the best tag team of all time, I would have thought you were out of your freaking mind. Because
what he smoke?
Exactly. I mean, they came in, and they both of them, when they came in, they were fresh out of school, really green. And I was, you know, in the wrestling business, you use the word bitter. And I was bitter and I was jealous at the time because I had already been working for 2-3 years and I just kind of got pushed to the side to be the fluff. And these guys got brought in and were given the push as the actual working Dudleys. And I didn't think they deserved it because they were really green at the time. And I was like, you know, I've been working for a couple years. Why are you not giving me a shot? I was pissed. But I stuck with it because just in case I did get that shot, and plus I was living the sex, drugs, and rock and roll life, that I was like, you know, it's worth it. So it was worth it.
Don't do this at home, kids.
Stay in college. Yeah, please. I should write a book on what not to do. But those guys worked their tails off for 20-plus years, the most dedicated and deserving tag team. And I am beyond honored to say I was part of them, and they take Dudley out of it. Those guys, Hall of Fame. I mean, seriously, what they did, not only in this country and WWE, but around the freaking world, they dominated. They just tag team wrestling. It used to be you would say Road Warriors, Steiners, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express. Now everybody's first name is the Dudleys.
Exactly. And then when, you know, you had a tag team who stick to tag team, it wasn't you're a main eventer, we don't have nothing for you. Let's just put you as a tag team. These guys started as a tag team and the rest was history.
Absolutely.
So, Matt, you know, if you guys want to call.
Well, what's funny is mentioned 95, 96, 97, 98, really that era was a great time in wrestling, you know, just as a fan watching it. You know, when you think about that, and, you know, it's funny how it all kind of ties together. You know, we're talking about the All Elite Wrestling, but at that time, you know, you watched WCW really emerge. You watched ECW emerge, and all three were really firing at that time. You know, it didn't last that long. It's really only a handful of years. But when you think about it, that really, what a great time to be a fan.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and really, I think a time that we're not going to, you're not going to get that kind of vibe again, you know, as we're talking about that earlier. But now here's the question. I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you go to the network and search for your name?
No. I honestly don't have the network, and I really don't watch wrestling anymore. Like, when I really got out of the business, it's like 15 years now. Like, I stopped watching because I'm just a nutcase. And
your reaction is priceless. The eyebrows going up.
I am a complete. My wife will back me up on this. I am a complete freaking control freak. I'm a nut, and when I start watching wrestling, like, I want to get back involved, and I want to start promoting shows and booking and this and that, and it's a lot safer place for me and my family to just stay away.
And our marriage.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
But don't get me wrong. Yeah. I do Google my name.
Good.
You know, I do, like, I from time to time I check. And if I had the network, my ego most definitely would be looking for it. I do get people do send me messages or whatever when they, you know, oh, you were on the network today or this and that. As a matter of fact, my buddy's my tattoo artist. I went to the tattoo shop 2 weeks ago to got my parents' signatures on me. And the guy that owns the shop's a big wrestling fan. He's like, dude, I was listening to Bubba Ray's radio show on Sirius XM. He was talking about you this morning. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, somebody called up and asked if you were coming over for Thanksgiving dinner. He's like, that guy died.
Oh! I'm like, what? Save your turkey leg. All the way.
I know. Yeah, I'm like, what's going on here?
Wow.
Damaged. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, if you guys have a question or a comment, call in 215-619-7366. We're Damaged. You're getting live with Bay Ragney, Matt, myself, Bullet. We take a quick commercial break, I guess, and I'll be back more Damage Radio.
Tell me when you're going to do that.
I know. Some things never change,
man. We were
off
to such a good start.
I know. Some things never change.
Hello. I'm here with a random man on the street for this week's Monco Radio survey. Sir, we'd like to ask you a few questions.
Oh.
Do you listen to Monco Radio?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And is Monco Radio sounding better than ever?
Yes, they are. Very much.
And will you tell all of your friends to listen to Monco Radio?
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. You know.
Have a great day, sir. And thank you for listening to Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Here you go.
Craig, this frat party is sick. This is my bro, Jack.
Yo, Jack, nice to meet you, man. What school do you go to?
I go to Monco, bro.
Monco?
What?
The in-state tuition and fees are less than four-year colleges, and you can take your first few years there.
Bro, I went to Monco last year. I just transferred.
Isn't community college bad?
Actually, Monco is ranked one of the top 25 colleges in the state. Great courses and great professors.
So, do you want a great education that is local, affordable, successful, and has a convenient and lively campus? For more information, check out nc3.edu.
Well, bro, Monco is the best place to be if you hear that commercial.
I love that commercial. That's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
me
awesome.
Too.
That's classes right. Start next Wednesday. If you're listening live, you know, get in here, sign up for some classes. You know you need to.
It's the best place to be, man. Look at all this stuff you can use. It's radio station, anything, man. The world's in your fingertips.
If you're interested in TV, radio, audio, video, come talk to me.
That's right. The Matt Porter.
The Matt Porter.
That's right. I wish I went to college when I come here, really.
Seriously. Well, this is Damage Radio. We're live here at Bay, you know, MoncoRadio.com, where music reminds me. And we're about to get on to a very important topic, totally driven radio, man.
Totally damaged.
Totally damaged.
I'm so saying damage all the time. But hey, man, it started off as a vision, man. What are your thoughts on where it's at now?
You know what? Honestly, totally driven radio, totally driven entertainment, none of that stuff wouldn't have happened unless it was for Completely Damaged. I mean, it's the spinoff of Completely Damaged. I mean, and the scary part is it was 8 years ago.
Wow.
You know, April will be 8 years. And, you know, we were working together, me and RC and Matt, and we were doing the whole Completely Damaged thing. And we had fallen out on the vision. And you were very, very stuck in wanting to do wrestling. And I was like, no, let's do this and do this and do this. And
I was young. Yeah. Young and not thinking.
And so we decided to part ways. And I just remember I was sitting there. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to try to lay this thing out and, you know, go all these different directions of entertainment, but I need a name. And I needed Completely Damaged is an amazing name. It's a powerful, amazing name. And I'm just like, man, I need something. And at the time, too, it was like, because I have, like, you know, the whole depression thing and stuff like that. And I was like, I need something upbeat and positive and motivating. And I kept trying to think of something to be opposite of Completely Damaged, and like Totally Driven just kept, it wouldn't go away. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, at first I'm like, it's stupid. And like, I'm, you know, it's just, no, it's just not going to sound right. And then I'm like, you know what? It won't go. And there's nothing else that come to my mind. So out of Completely Damaged became Totally Driven.
Well, dude, I love it, man. Like, you're doing your thing, man. You've been doing great, man, getting these guests and all that, and staying on weekly and bringing people in, getting sponsors in, man. Talk about that, the history, man, of all that, man. It's hard work.
Dude,
talking
I'm so tired.
His network, talking to his agent.
I'm so tired. I really am. It's so freaking hard. Like, we just did our 300th episode of weekly live shows. It's like 2 months ago. And it's crazy. It's 6 years of doing live weekly shows. And then on top of it, I do like just a strictly music show with music interviews. And I just did 142 episodes of that. So, I mean, it's just, it's insane. And it's very, I put more time and effort into that than my normal job. Like, I could probably make more money at my normal job if I put the time and effort into that. But it's crazy. I'm very tired. I really am. Like, I fight with myself every day. Like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing here? Like, do I keep going? And it's literally a fight in my head every day. Do I keep going? Do I just say, like, all right, you know what? Like, I'm getting to the age. Like, maybe it's time to take a break. And then I do an interview. Like, you know, we interviewed Bo Duke like 6 weeks ago. I get an email. Yeah, John Schneider, you want to do an interview with John Schneider? I'm like,
yeah.
Bo Duke?
Yeah.
Yes. And I get to interview Bo Duke for 45 minutes, and I'm just like, you know, life is beautiful, man.
You know, I think a lot of time whenever you're doing this, the doing it is the great fun part.
Absolutely.
It's everything around it that gets to be a drag. You know, absolutely. You have to do all the emails to get people, you know, hooked up and this and that. And then it costs you money for your website, and it costs money for this, and it costs money for that.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't want to lose money.
But the doing, it's the fun part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I say it every week. Like, we go live every Thursday night, and we end up doing almost 4 hours every Thursday night. And I get off the air and I say to my co-host, Nick and Jimmy Jannetty, I'm like, this is why I do it. Because we have such a great time. And, you know, we might do one or two interviews that take up half the show. The other half of the show, we're just talking about the stupidest things and doing like stupid countdowns or lists and discussing our everyday lives. And it's three friends having their literal lives aired. And it's just a phone conversation between friends it turns into. And if somebody's listening, great. If somebody's not listening, you know, even, you know, whatever. Like, we're bonding and just having such a great time, you know.
You can do a whole show if you talk to Bo Duke, do a whole show, favorite Dukes of Hazzard moments. Seriously. And we all have to talk like Roscoe P, you know.
The whole show. Yeah.
That'd be the whole show. Yeah. That'd be great fun.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, that you helped open a bunch of doors for Completely Damaged when you came on. You know, like when I met you at TWA and I interviewed you first time, long hair and all that. Right, you know, right. Your band was in that for open for Kiss.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. And again, did Anthony end up winning that contest or no?
No. Well, that's a whole other story. Jeez, don't get me started.
Oh, no, not on a Monday.
It's worked.
Seriously. But yeah, just like that alone, you know, like opening doors and, you know, bringing people on. Like, I'll never forget Ramada Inn, Essington, PA. We had the hurricane or whatever coming. Right. You know, we had Annie Social. Right. We had Cindy Rogers. We had Amy Lee.
Right.
We had Blue Meanie. We had everyone at our table wearing the Damaged shirts. And Amy, man, she's a pistol. She's awesome.
She's awesome.
You speak about the name Completely Damaged. That's when Wendy Richter, and you said, thanks for being a Completely Damaged. She says, Completely Damaged.
Wow.
I like that. We're all completely damaged.
What could you say after that? I just said back, damaged, you know?
I can't tell the Wendy Richter story about, like, when I was a kid going to see a WWF show. There was a guy hollering Wendy Richter on my when I was like, you know, like a 12, 13 year old kid, and that, like, vision in my ear, that sound in my ear has stuck with me for 35 years. That's all I think of when I hear her name.
Really?
Yeah.
But just doing it, like, you know, doing damage, you know, it's what it is. Whatever happens, we don't edit too much out. You know, you see what you see. That's what's happening live. You know, absolutely. And Amy, like, talking to you, like, you know, this, you know, then saying a joke about you and just like, yeah, okay, I guess, yeah. You know, it's just like, and then you got Meanie in the background. And he's like, okay, you know, like we don't care who's like there. We interview anybody. We'll interview fans. We'll interview professional wrestlers. Like, we're completely damaged, you know?
Absolutely.
And it was a great run, dude. And, like, you know, like, we support whatever you do. Like, you know, like I said, I was young, you know? I was stuck on wrestling, and I didn't realize the bigger vision of everything like I do now, you know? And it's...
You know what, though? Like, the scary part is, and I see it from, you know, running my network where I've had other shows come on and, you know, they have that one vision where they're doing just, say, wrestling, for instance. It's a lot easier to just stick with one thing. It, for a promotional standpoint, where I'm doing, you know, eight different, you know, things of entertainment, say, fields of entertainment, it's so hard week in and week out to promote it and trying to promote it. And especially now, like I was just having this conversation the other day, Facebook has, and the whole internet and the algorithms has destroyed everything. First of all, you got 1,000,001 people now doing podcasts. And there's so many of them out there, and there's only so much time in a day for people to pick and choose what they want to listen to. And then to try to reach them people, it's nearly impossible anymore. It really is. It's so hard to promote unless you're going to pay. And even if you're paying, you're not guaranteed nothing. It's brutal anymore.
Yep. If you don't sponsor, your posts are buried. Facebook buries the posts.
Absolutely.
That's what Matt and I talked about all the time. Like, you know, we were doing completely damaged. Well, no one else really wasn't doing too much of that kind of stuff. And then, like, it just took the fun out of it.
Well, that's like, when we started. We would go to the, you know, matches or conventions or whatever, and there would be nobody with a camera. And especially I had access to good cameras through here. So by the time we were kind of wrapped up doing it was because now everybody with a cell phone is doing their show. And I think the wrestlers seem to get burned out about it. And that's now your friend Tommy Dreamer. He says to us, I'm not doing that. He says, I know what all these shows are and they make us look bad. Because by that point, everybody with a phone camera was doing a show. And it's like, and you don't know what the content's like. So that's, I don't know. I think that's why it got a little bit at the end of doing the video. It got to be... You felt like you were just, like, overwhelmed by how many other people were also there doing their show. Yeah. And usually it was, you know...
And you didn't want to be put in that category.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's, you know, for instance, like, I was just emailing with a PR person the other day. And I've dealt with this PR person for a few years now. And for John 5, Rob Zombie's guitar player. Nice. He's got a new album coming out. John's done my show 3 times already. And... He just put out a new video the other day, and I emailed him, hey, if John's doing interviews, love to have him back on the show. And I have to go through the whole process again. And it's like, and I'm like, look, I've had John on the show 3 times before. You know, I've met him a few times. Like, I won Philly top blah, 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 you know, for 2017. Like, you know, it's...
Congratulations, by the way, on that. Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you.
John 5 coming back to Sellersville Theater this year. So, yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I said, well, do you want to have him on to promote the Sellersville show, or do you want to have him on to promote the album? Whichever you want to do, as long as I get him on. I don't care. And they were like, well, and they started asking me all these questions. I'm like, you know, like, we've dealt with each other before. Like, why do I have to play the game again? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, let me ask a question before I see Arthur queuing up a question, but now we got a couple more minutes left. But think about it, in all the years you've done it, what are like some highlight interviews that you've had?
Definitely off the top of my head, the Count from County Cars. I absolutely love that guy. And that guy, Danny Coker, I mean, he is such an inspiration. I mean, he's got Count's Customs, Count's Tattoos. He owns Club Vamped in Vegas. He owns a recording studio out there that everybody uses. And he is the most down-to-earth guy. Like, he's one of us. Like, every time I've had him on the show, he is just the nicest, most super cool guy. He's somebody I picture hanging out with, having dinner, drinking beers, and just laughing nonstop. He's just a good dude.
We would have beers here, but we're not allowed.
I know.
And it's 10 o'clock.
Exactly. Well, that's okay. But,
Bay, you know, you're the former wrestler. I'm a former athlete. And what's some of the goals for 2019 for TDR?
staying alive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone's. I love it.
Staying alive. Like,
that seems to be the theme of this show.
And really, you know what? Like, every day I wake up, I got this weird, rare illness now, sarcoidosis. And, like, every day I wake up, I'm just, like, winning because – and people are like, dude, stop with the winning. No, dude, like – I'm winning because I'm breathing. Bottom line, I'm breathing. I'm alive. That's my goal every day. Yeah. As long as I'm alive, I can keep doing any of this other stuff. If I'm having fun doing TDR, even better. If I'm not having fun, by the wayside, it's going to go. But I'm having fun. So as long as I'm having fun and I'm breathing, not in that order, breathing first.
Yeah, of course,
but
of course.
That's all that matters anymore. Like every day that I'm getting older, like I'm really appreciating life more, and it's literally about waking up every day, and I'm very thankful.
Well, you talk about you're tired. Now think about we're a little older, but remember when you think of like when you're 20, like 20-year-old tired, and now, you know, 50-year-old tired. Totally different.
Dude, like, you know what? Like, we go every week to this Mexican place, but this amazing Mexican restaurant by my house, and we go, and I got to get there early because they're so good. By 6 o'clock, the line is out the freaking door. I hate dealing with crowds, so I'm there at like 4:30, 5 o'clock on a Friday or Saturday. I get this amazing meal, a pitcher, sometimes two pitchers of margaritas. I go home like 6 o'clock. I'm like, you know what? I'm ready for bed. I'm done. That's it. Like, yep. That's why the last few months I haven't even been going out to shows because I don't want to like wait until 10 o'clock to start seeing the bands, and I feel bad, but they need to, like, change. They really do. Yeah. I think more people would come out to shows if they move the times up because we're all getting older. Nobody wants to be out till 2 o'clock in the morning anymore.
Play it from 6 to 8.
Absolutely. That's what they do over in Europe.
Right.
Yeah.
They're drawing crowds in Europe.
All bands, if you want us to stay awake.
Yeah.
Play your show at 6 o'clock.
And can I just thank IHOP because kids eat free from 4 to 10 p.m.
There you go.
Adult entree, man. We love you, IHOP. My kids love you, too. And
that's it.
Talking about new adventures, man, before we go, commentating for Liberty All-Star Wrestling, man. How has that transition been for you?
You know what? Weird. It was something I really didn't want to do. Liberty All-Star Wrestling is a promotion I started in 94 with Frank Namoli and Larry Reed, Lucky Larry. And Frank came to me a couple years ago. And he said, like, if I want to restart it, can I use the Liberty name? And I was like, yeah, go for it. You know, if that's what you want to do. And he came to me last summer. He's like, I got this show coming up. I think you'd be good doing commentary. I'm like, no. No. First off, I don't want to be involved. And second off, like, I don't think I'd be any good. Like, I did it once back in the day for a show just to fill in. And I just remember being uncomfortable. No, it's not my forte. And he got this guy, Richie Blyweiss, who, when we first started the promotion, his father was our ring announcer. He was a 5-year-old kid and was like, the ring boy, and we'd take the ring jackets back and all. Well, now he's 30-something years old, married, he's a school teacher, and he's like, well, Richie was Fearon's old co-host.
Right.
He's like, so Richie's going to do the commentating. So then Richie started messaging me, come on, do it with me. And after like 6 weeks, I was just like, they broke me down, and I'm like, look, I'll do it, but I'm just going to be I'm the fluff. Like, I'll lend my, comments here and there. I'll throw some comedy one-liners in. I'll throw some this and that in. I said, but you're doing the play-by-play because I can't do it. And he was like, perfect. I said, I'll do it. And we had a blast. We really did.
Nice. Now, has radio helped in your opinion?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's helped talking in general.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, what do you like best about this company?
You know what? It's
it's like a new era in a way.
It's not like when I was running it and booking it. It's more. It's very family oriented now. It's very comedy style matches. Fun. It's just a fun show. It's great for the kids. Where when I was running it, it was more. I was running it like old school NWA, UWF, like stuff like that. But something I now learn as I'm older. Like, what I want to see is not what everybody else wants to see.
Yeah.
Or what I want to hear is not what everybody else wants to hear. So, you know, Frank's doing a great job. He's drawing nice little houses. And the big difference, I'll say, is where he's running shows, he's actually making money. Where I ran shows and lost money on every show. So, you know, he's doing a great job. I can't say a bad word.
And where are they running at?
They're doing Briarcliff Fieldhouse, March 23rd and April... I think it's April 13th. They're going to be in Kennett Square, Pennsylvania.
Mm, nice, man. And is there a website too they can check out?
Just look up Liberty All Star Wrestling on Facebook and Instagram.
Nice. And now, how about for Totally Driven Radio, man? If people want to get more information and listen to you live every week.
Totally Driven Entertainment. Just look us up Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or totallydriven.tv.
See, now, Baze used to do in 4 hours a night. We do an hour, and we're out of time. You're just getting warmed just up, getting... right?
I know. Well, come on.
Let's go. Well, Bay, happy New Year, man. You're always happy welcome here to Thank Damage so Radio, much, man. Anytime you want. And
what a great start to the year. It was an all-star action pack. Thanks for coming up. That was fantastic, Bay.
Always a pleasure to see you guys.
Anytime,
you
man. And guys, remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Completely damaged!